Hey everyone, Dr. Miles here, and this is Module 4, Video 12 about the polyvagal theory. Now, the polyvagal theory is it's a theory that's coined by Dr. Stephen Porges. And so if you want to read some of Dr. Stephen Porges' material or watch some videos by him, you'll get an incredible amount more detail than, of course, we'll have time to get into in this video here. But the reason why we're going to cover polyvagal theory is because it gives an understanding for a bit about how the nervous system interfaces with threat, and we know that stress is connected with so many worsenings of different disease processes that it's important we understand some ways that the nervous system gets dysregulated and some strategies that can help it to stay regulated. There have been technologies now that have been developed, like heart rate variability, that show a little bit about nervous system regulation. That's actually based on the vagal nerve connection between the heart and the brain. And we're going to talk a little bit about what is polyvagal theory and how is it applicable into a functional medicine, mindfulness medicine, clinical practice. So the polyvagal theory is talking about basically that the autonomic nervous system is influenced by the central nervous system, and there's some myelinated parts of the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve has many, many different branches, many, many different fibers that go through different areas of the body. There are some myelinated fibers that connect to some of the vital organs, connect to the heart, connect to the gut. Part of the gut-brain connection is described by the vagus nerve, and that's evidenced by one of the studies where they took mice and they gave them one group a probiotic, one group a sterile broth, and the group that had the probiotic did much better in a stress test. They cut the vagal nerve in that group and they reverted back to doing worse, doing the same as the group without the probiotic, showing that there are signals from the gut to the brain via the vagal nerve. Now, one thing that is different about the polyvagal theory versus some other sort of, we have our basic fight, flight, sympathetic nervous system and our parasympathetic rest and digest nervous system. And that's the basic premise I think that most of us medical professionals understand about a little bit about the central nervous system, a little bit about the autonomic nervous system, a little bit about the fight-flight response, the sympathetic response, and the parasympathetic response. What the polyvagal theory adds to that discussion is that mammals, it proposes that mammals have evolved a certain part of the myelinated vagal fibers that connect the face and the heart and the gut and some of the aspects together that are now regulating the nervous system largely with bonding and social signals, facial signals. This isn't true for reptiles. This isn't true for some other species in evolution, but this is true for mammals. And there's basically this ability for certain facial expressions to trigger either a threat response in a sympathetic nervous system activity or a parasympathetic relaxation type of response. It's almost like there's a parasympathetic, a sympathetic, and then another, what we might call a social nervous system, which is kind of active. It can activate the parasympathetic, it can activate the sympathetic, but it's looking to bonding, it's looking to facial signals from other mammals in order to know whether it's safe or there's a threat. You'll see this commonly when a bunch of people are in a room and there's a loud noise. People start looking at each other. They're looking at each other as if on some primal level to say, hey, you know what's going on? And if other people look comfortable and confident and like, oh, this is no big deal, then most of the other people will just relax. There's this sense of if you look at someone and they're relaxed, you get a little bit more relaxed, unless you're knowing something more, and then you're going to feel not at ease, like there's a big issue, and your facial signals are going to signal that to other people around you as well. This is part of the reason why we now see in research that those fibers, those myelinated fibers of the vagal nerve, get activated when there's certain loving kinds of bonding and facial expressions. So, and this is true for mammals, not just humans. So, for example, let's say that you feel that stress is a big part of a client or a patient's situation, like their gut issues get worse when they're stressed and they feel like they're stressed a lot of the time and they're stressed easily. In that case, you might offer a strategy for them to, if they have a pet, to sit with their pet and to look at their pet and to pet their pet when they're feeling stressed, because we know that the facial signals of a happy animal is going to help a person to activate the fibers of the vagal nerve that are going to calm and regulate the nervous system and help a person to feel safe instead of threatened. A few other things that have been shown to activate the vagal nerves include breathing. Slow, rhythmic breathing has been shown to also activate the parts of the vagal nerve that help calm and regulate and relax. So this is part of where heart rate variability comes in, and the relationship between polyvagal theory and heart rate variability is that as breathing slows to about 5 or 6 second inhales and exhales, the heart rate variability tends to increase because you're timing the breath with the basoreceptors for expanding and contracting the blood vessels, and the heart rate and the blood flow is going to accordingly go up and down, and that's going to increase the variability within the heart rate. And by increasing that variability within the heart rate, we know that in research that is connected with a parasympathetic or a relaxation nervous system response. The way that it's connected with that is through those myelinated vagal fiber connections between the heart and the brain. And the brain's getting signals, and the heart's getting signals. And that change in heart rate variability is being managed through those vagal nervous system signals. So the vagal nerve is also activated through breath, and that can mean doing slow, deep breathing breath work or playing wind instruments, playing flute or saxophone or even didgeridoo, actually incredibly so didgeridoo, have been shown to help to activate the right parts of the vagal nervous system. Didgeridoo has been shown to help to reduce sleep apnea, which is a big, big issue. And so there are many reasons why playing musical instruments, especially through breath work, can help with vagal nervous tone and help with activating the right parts of the vagal nerve. Now, I want to make a note that there are parts of the vagal nerve that may not be wanting to be activated, but we're not talking about those parts. We're talking about the myelinated fibers that are the parts that are healthful and beneficial and are underactivated for people during threat that we want to activate, and so that during threat or during stress they can re-regulate. So breath work can also be done just through breathing, slowly and deeply, as we talked about, 5 or 6 second inhale, 5 or 6 second exhale for several rounds. And breath work can also be done through, so there's other not breath work, but there's other musical sounds that are also calming to the nervous system, calming to the vagal nerve, activate those myelinated fibers. And those are generally higher pitched tones. So predators have deep, deep tones. So the very deep tones typically don't activate the myelinated fibers in the vagal nerve and may actually increase threat. So, you know, a growl or a bark or a roar can be signs of threat in nature. So those lower tones are often signs of threat. But higher tones, like lively folk music, indie music, music that is very, maybe not incredibly fast, but rhythmic with higher tones, is going to be music that, and of course classical music, is going to be music that is often very relaxing and calming and can reduce stress and can activate these fibers. Also, there's movements that can activate these myelinated fibers. Many of the traditions that do slow, gentle, mindfulness-based movement kinds of practices. Our favorite is Shungjen meditation. There's many styles of Tai Chi and Qigong, gentle yoga as well. And so doing some Shungjen meditation movements can also be a great way to activate the myelinated fibers of the vagal nerve and calm and relax the nervous system and reduce stress. So basically what this study here is saying is, as a source nuclei of the primary vagal efferent pathways regulating the heart shifted from the dorsal motor nucleus of the vagus in reptiles to the nucleus ambiguous in animals, a face-heart connection evolved with emergent properties of a social engagement system that would enable social interactions to regulate visceral state. So the big regulators, the big ones that are regulating and helping to regulate the nervous system and to activate the myelinated fibers of the vagus nerve that are associated with positive health outcomes, are social interactions, especially with other mammals who are giving safe, calm, relaxing facial cues, as well as breathing exercises and or playing flute and or another wind instrument like didgeridoo and or singing, and then musical tones that are higher pitched or medium pitched, but not as much low pitched. These are all ways to help to regulate the vagal nerve, and mammals can be pets, so keep that in mind as well. So that's a basic understanding of some of the polyvagal theory and how that can inform some of the clinical recommendations for people who, especially we feel that are having some issues that might be worsened by stress, like insomnia or gut issues or really any of the various health conditions that have stress as an impact, which are many and vast. So this is a very important clinical tool, and in addition to giving people supplements and nutritional plans, it's important to also give some lifestyle suggestions that can help with the vagal tone and help people to, I mean, we know from studies about social isolation being as big a risk factor as smoking 15 cigarettes per day and obesity and many other things. Social isolation is huge, and that's probably in part because of this polyvagal understanding and those myelinated fibers of the vagus nerve being underactivated. And whenever someone's feeling off, feeling threatened, feeling a tightening in the stomach, feeling like they're stressed out, doing some of these activities to help regulate the vagus nerve can be an incredible tool in their tool belt. In our next video, Module 4, Video 13, we're going to be doing a summary and review for Module 4. Hope you've enjoyed this video and look forward to catching you on the next. Thanks and take care.